And the Cheshire Cat said, "That depends. On what?" "On your destination. Where do you want to go?" "I don't know," stammered Alice. Then said the cat with his grin growing wider, "It doesn't matter." What this story is saying is, if you don't know what your destination is, it doesn't matter which road you take. It doesn't matter which path that you follow. The purpose of today's sermon is to address the question, how do I know or follow God's will in my life so that I live a life of faith in God? Please pray with me. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for how special it is. May we go into your word this morning and come out growing closer to you, knowing you better. Lord, I thank you for the music that was sung this morning. I'm just struck by how you are unstoppable, unshakable, unquenchable. You are awesome in every single way. Lord, I pray that you will give me the words to speak, that these will be your words coming from your word. And I pray that you will open up all of our hearts, all of our minds this morning, so that we may abide in you and grow closer to you, coming into your presence. For this we thank you in advance, and we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In your precious Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To answer this question, how do we know God's will for our life? I want us to go to Genesis chapter 24. The scripture this morning is rather long. It's verses 1 through 27. You know, last week, Pastor Kip, he preached on how Daniel had faith and how he exhibited his faith and how strong it was. And I feel led this morning to also preach on an Old Testament character. This one, he wasn't so well known. In fact, many people aren't quite sure of who he was, what his name was. It was the servant of Abraham, where Abraham commanded his servant to go to his home where he was originally from and to find a wife from his own family for his son Isaac. And that's what he was called to do. The story will teach us principles concerning how to follow God's will for our life. So let's go into Scripture and look at Genesis chapter 24. And if you would, please follow along in your Bible. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will get a wife for my son, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let your jar down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one that you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please, give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a becca and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my father Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." This passage of Scripture this morning is telling us that Abraham is coming to the end of his life here on earth, and he wants to find a bride for his son Isaac. Why is this important? Well, he's a father and he wants that for his son, but God also made a promise to him. God promised Abraham that many generations will flow through you. And in verse 3, we know that it cannot come from the Canaanite women. Isaac's wife cannot be from Canaan, because God has taken Abraham into that land to give it to him. And it would be kind of defying God for him to marry into this culture that worshiped false idols. So he needed his son. He needed to marry someone that came from his hometown, where he was from, and from his own family. I want you to do something you may not have done before. I want you to look at this scripture passage, and I want you to see it through the eyes of the servant. What was the servant going through? For a moment, I'm going to pretend to be this servant and based on scripture, say the thoughts that the servant must have had. Here's my master, Abraham, and he's about to die. His son, Isaac, is going to become my new master. There's a lot of changes that are about to happen. And my master trusted me, his servant, to find a wife for his son. Now, I believe that my master is following God's will, and I need to abide by that. And you know what? I have affirmation. My master told me that angels will guide me where I need to go. So I have faith that God will guide me in that way. And I trust my master. I trust him because ever since he left the land of Ur, his home country, and he went out like God told him, ever since we were all circumcised at God's will, God has blessed him, and my master has blessed me. I don't want to fail my master. And so I swore an oath to my master that I would go back to his homeland. And I took other servants with me. And I took 10 camels laden with gifts, and I went. When I arrived at Nahor, I had the camels kneel down beside the well outside of the town toward dusk. And then I prayed, and this was my prayer. O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, "Drink, please let down your jar that I may have a drink," and she says, "Drink, and I'll water your camels too," let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. After I prayed, I did something. I watched and I waited. And I knew if this was going to be the woman that God chose for Isaac, 3 questions had to be answered. First, would she offer to water the camels and would she water them? Second, is she from Abraham's family? And third and finally, will she go with me as servant back to my master's home? If any of these questions were answered in the negative, I would have my answer that she is not the one that God intended. You know, stepping out now from that servant's role, as a result of this servant's faithfulness, God blessed them. Isaac did marry Rebekah, and they had two children. They had Jacob and Esau. Later, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And God's redemption flowed through them. After reading the scripture, after paraphrasing what it must be like from the servant's point of view, how does that apply to us today in the 21st century? It's kind of how can we work with that? I want to answer the question, so what? I want to go in and bring out what that means to us today. I was struck by the fact that the servant knew his identity. The servant knew who he was. More so, he knew who his master was. You know, do we know our identity? Do we know who we are? A lot of people, if you were to ask them, who are you? The typical answer would be, well, my name is Ken Crummett. It's not who I am. That's my name. I'm 37 years old. That's not who I am. That's my age. Well, I work for Northrop Grumman Corporation. That's not who I am. That's my employment. Well, I'm the husband of Kate, the father of Caitlin and Catherine, the son of Susan. No, that's not who I am. That's my relationship to other family members. Well, I went to University of Maryland, and then I went to Southern. It's not who I am. That's my education. So if we're not our names, if we're not our ages, if we're not our employment, if we're not our education or our accomplishments, then who are we? Because if you took away your name, are you still you? If you got laid off, would you lose your identity? If a family member died, would you stop being you? So if we're not our accomplishments or what we made of ourselves, then we must be belonging to our Creator. That means that we are children of God. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That is your identity. That is my identity. We are children of the King, and we should really be excited about it. Amen? Amen. As a child of the King, we have a relationship with God. And if we have a relationship with God, with our King, with our Father, then we will know our Father's will. And Master Life, the first book, it talks about having a relationship with God. And it talks about what that entails. We are to become a follower. Do you remember hearing the word disciple frequently? John 15, the whole chapter talks about how we are to abide in the true vine so that we bear much fruit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And the disciples' cross shows us four ways that we can stay connected. The first book that we went through, it talks about, one, spending time with the Master. Two, living in the Word. Three, praying in faith. And four, fellowship with other believers. When we are faithful in these four principles, we will know God's will. We will know how to seek and follow God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. John 15:5 was one of the first scripture verses in Master Life. Say it with me if you remember it. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you remember Alice in Wonderland, and when she was at that crossroads and she didn't know where to go? Should I go left? Should I go right? She didn't even know her destination, which means it doesn't matter which path she takes. We have an advantage. We know where we're going. We know our ultimate destination, and we are blessed because of that. You know, just as a servant followed Abraham's will, we are to follow God's will in our life. I want to talk for a moment about some of the other qualities that the servant had that we can carry with us today. First off, he trusted Abraham. The servant really trusted his master. He witnessed firsthand how Abraham's relationship with God was so strong, and he wanted to emulate that. He wanted to be like that. Abraham's relationship was addictive, and he wanted to be more like that. If Abraham did not task this servant with finding a wife for his son, then the servant wouldn't have known the master's will. By Abraham showing faith in his servant, it made his servant have more faith in God because he knew he couldn't do it alone. He needed God to carry him through. Do you need God to carry you through? I knew I need God to carry me through. We all do. And I was struck by the realization that if this servant was loyal to another human being, and we're all human, we all sin, so a less than perfect person, how much easier and how much more should we be loyal to a perfect creator who sent his son Jesus Christ, who lived that perfect life, who literally died on the cross for our sins? How much more so should we be faithful and obedient to him and trust in him? John 15:15 has, this is Jesus saying, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So if we follow, if we abide, if we imitate and be disciples of Jesus, we're going to surely know God's will for our life. I love the fact that he was obedient. He took the oath to Abraham, the servant did, and then he went off and he went on his mission to find a bride for Isaac. He was obedient. He followed through. Once we know God's will, it's important that we follow God's will, that we are obedient. I picked on Sherry in the first service. I'm going to pick on her again today. Sherry, I learned last Sunday, was here at this church. She was married, and she felt called to go to seminary. And for some strange reason, she went to North Carolina, but she didn't stay there. She commuted on the weekends to North Carolina. Can you imagine how difficult that is? But she was obedient. She was faithful. And God has blessed our church as a result of that. We need to be obedient. Once we know what God wants for our lives, we need to follow through and do it. The servant was obedient. And the servant prayed. The servant when he arrived at Nahor, he prayed to God. It doesn't say that he went to other servants or he went to his colleagues or anybody else and asked for advice. He went to God first. Now, in our life, it's very good and important that we go to fellow Christians and we ask their opinion. We want someone that has the Spirit inside of them. And I frequently have gone to my parents or to Kate or to friends or to colleagues. But it's so important that I go to God first, because that is showing faith. I think that if we do not seek God's will for our life, how are we ever going to find it? We're back to Alice in Wonderland. If you don't know your destination, doesn't matter where you're going, which path you take. So the rub is this. The story of Abraham's story is actually our story today. There are many qualities and characteristics that this servant had that we can imitate and follow today. As children of God, we are privy to his will, and that is to bear much fruit. Just like the servant, we need to be obedient and we need to pray. This is how we seek God's will. And we have a responsibility to live a life of faith in God. The scripture memory verse for last week and this week that was sung this morning so well, Philippians 2:13, is so applicable. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to have faith and go according to God's timetable. I don't know if you might, I don't think I've ever shared with you, we haven't been here long enough, my prayer for patience. And my prayer for patience is, God, please grant me patience. And I mean right now. I want it right away, and oftentimes it's not going to happen right away. We need to wait on God's time. We can't waver. We can't give in. Yet sometimes it is so easy to do. I want you today to do something today. I want you to reflect on your life, on a time when you were faithful to God, and then your faith wavered, and the blessing that might have happened never came about. It was never bestowed upon you. And then I want you to reflect of another time in your life where you were faithful, and then it even you had to be faithful for a longer period of time, and you stayed constant, and God blessed you for your faithfulness. Reflect on that. Reflect on what those occurrences in your life. This story is about, or this sermon is about how we follow and know God's will for our life. And oftentimes that involves faith and being constant in our faith. Joel Alston is a pastor, and his father was a pastor. And I heard a story recently about how years ago they were going to have at their church a fellowship gathering, and they needed two cows. And the father, Joel Alston's father, had faith that God was going to provide these cows. And so they didn't go out and buy the cows. They waited. But, you know, it was getting closer and closer and closer to the time of the event. And so they're starting to sweat bullets. And at the last minute, they went out and they bought the two cows. The pastor did it. And Joel's father had a dream shortly after that. He saw two cows in a meadow. And they were towards the end of the meadow. And a bigger animal swallowed them up. And he thought to himself, I didn't wait long enough. I didn't have enough faith. Another time in the same family's life, Joel's mother was diagnosed with cancer, and she had cancer. And that family was so faithful in their praying, they really believed that she was going to be healed. So much so that the mother was walking around with cancer inside of her, and she was praising God for the healing. And God chose to bless them, and as a result, it turns out that her cancer went into remittance and she was cured. She was healed of that. I want to tell you a quick story about my mom and dad. My dad owned a business with a partner for 30 years. And a member of my dad's partner's family did not pay the government taxes on a particular year. And my parents were facing losing our home. I was a teenager at the time. And I remember it was a very difficult time. And my mother told me this recently. She and Dad, they remember a sermon on tithing that was so powerful that they were both convicted. And so they started giving beyond what they normally gave, to the point it was beyond their means. And God chose to bless them, and they did not lose the house. And the point is that in adversity, we need to have faith in God. Our faith needs to be constant, yet it is difficult to do sometimes. And sometimes people's faith is not developed. I don't know if you heard the story. There was a farmer who needed a chainsaw. So he goes and he goes to a logging foreman who sold it to him. And the logging foreman said, this saw will cut down 15 trees a day. I'll buy it. The farmer bought it. 1 week later, a disgruntled farmer went back and he said to the foreman, this saw is just doing 3 trees a day. I don't know what the problem is. The foreman grabbed the chainsaw, pulled the cord, and immediately the chainsaw went, and the farmer jumped back and goes, what's that noise? The farmer didn't know how to turn on the chainsaw. Farmer's there going back and forth, cutting down 3 trees a day, when he could be getting 15 trees a day. As an analogy, sometimes our faith is so rusty, or we don't know how to plug into it. We need to seek God out to be able to hear that bzzz sound. We need to have that relationship with God. I want to challenge you this morning to ask yourselves, are you seeking God's will for your life? Are you following God's will for your life? And I want to also encourage you with two scripture passages. Matthew 12, verse 50, where Jesus said, he who does the will of my Father, he who does the will of God, is my brother and my sister. And I also want to encourage you with Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, which is the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we pray, and the best prayer I know is, God, may your will be done. Pray with me. God, thank you so much that we can have a close and intimate relationship with you. Thank you that as we draw nearer and nearer to you, you reveal yourself more and more. You are a faithful God. I pray that we will be faithful to you, that our relationship with you will grow closer and closer. And that comes through seeking you out, through praying, coming to you in prayer, to listen for what you have to tell us, to try to be patient in the good times and the bad, particularly when we want it to happen right away. Father, I pray for us today, everyone here, those who can't be here today, that we will seek you out. And as Master Life has taught us, you have such a good plan for us. You want to work your will in us. Thank you that we can quote scripture and that we can bond together in fellowship, knowing that the common denominator is you. Father, you are so good, and we are so thankful. We praise you right now in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you today, to answer the question, how do we follow God's will? The first step is to ask Jesus into your life. Many of you here have done that. Some of you may not. We're about to have the call of invitation, the hymn of invitation, and I want to invite anyone here who has not asked Jesus Christ to come into their life to do so. And one thing I love about this church is people come here to pray to God, to give their request to God. If you have a need, please come forward. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, this is the time to do that.